For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Why mindfulness?
Let's talk about what mindfulness is and what we're here for. You know, if you listen to Jon Kabat-Zinn, his initial definition of mindfulness is non-judgmental moment-to-moment awareness. And according to his definition, I'm not mindful because I can't be non-judgmental. I can catch myself being non-judgmental, and I'm catching myself faster and faster. And I'm trying. I do have seconds here and there of non-judgmental awareness, but I'm not aware 24 hours a day. I'm not even aware probably more than 2 hours a day. That would be a lot. So when you're thinking about, okay, I'm going to go into mindfulness and it's going to make me more peaceful and I'm going to be aware of what's going on, you need to really manage your expectations because it's not something that happens that quickly. Just like starting on a weight program or a swimming program, it doesn't happen all that quickly. You've got to work at it. So what we're doing is we're cultivating our attention by purposely paying attention to things, especially things that we ordinarily never give a moment's thought to. You know, how often do you think about your breath? But amazingly, your breath is there 24/7 keeping you alive. So we're learning to pay attention to the little things that are going on in life, and we're learning to pay attention also to some of the big things that we kind of try and block out. So most of us live our lives not in the present moment, but either in the past or in the future. And we do so because that's how our brains were developed. Our brains were developed to keep us safe. And so we have a negativity bias. So if something bad happened to us in the past, you can be sure it's going to keep coming up in your brain again and again. And if you're worrying, if there's something going on in the future, like the holidays and how's that all going to go, you can be sure that your mind is going to keep pulling yourself to the future. If you think of your attention like a flashlight, you can shine the flashlight on anything you want. But as I'm shining a flashlight, and Gene starts to talk to me, my flashlight gets pulled away over to Gene. Now I can choose, do I want to keep my flashlight on Gene or do I want to go back to Mariana? That's what mindfulness is all about, is learning to recognize when your flashlight got pulled away and deciding where you want to shine your flashlight. What do you want to pay attention to? Because we can pay attention to whatever we choose to pay attention to. We cannot stop our thoughts, but we can choose whether or not we want to shine our flashlight on them and pay attention to them. In addition to the flashlight, and that's really the concentration part of mindfulness, we also have a floodlight. And the floodlight allows us to see the bigger picture. So if you turn the floodlight on in your yard, you see the whole yard, not just the little bit that you were looking at with the flashlight. Too often we look at our whole world as if we're using a flashlight and we just see little pieces and we think we see the whole thing. So there are times where we want to turn off our flashlight and turn on our floodlight. So we see the bigger picture and we look at things from a different perspective. And what mindfulness is all about is, some people call it the juggler. It's your executive function of deciding, is this a flashlight moment or is this a floodlight moment? Which one's going to be best for me? And where do I want to shine my flashlight or my floodlight? Where am I going to be paying attention? Because if we don't do that and we live either focused on the past with our flashlight on the past or our flashlight on the present, we miss out in living in the present moment. we end up on autopilot or lost in thought. How many times have you ever been with someone and they're talking to you and all of a sudden you realize you haven't a clue what they said? Because your mind has been someplace else. So you missed out on giving that person the feeling of being deeply listened to, which is a very healing feeling. And you missed out on strengthening that connection between you and that person. I mean, I find it often when I'm playing cards with my grandson, because he can go on and play cards forever and ever, and I don't get that much time with him. But often I'll find that I'm off in some other fantasy world thinking about what's going to be next, how am I going to make him lunch, what's going, you know, instead of just being there and playing with him and enjoying him. And the thing is that in the present moment, when we're living in the present moment, 90%+ of the time, we could be content. We could be happy with what we have right here. It's when we get pulled away into the past or the future, when things aren't exactly the way we want them to be, that we experience unpleasantness or suffering. So mindfulness starts with being aware of what's going on in the present moment. How am I sitting? What am I feeling? Am I feeling restless? Am I feeling tired? Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling content? Many of us couldn't describe feeling content because when we're content, we ignore it and move on. But if we sat and said, this is what content feels like, it's a pretty pleasant feeling. So you want to start by being aware of the present moment, what's going on in your head, what's going on in your heart, and most importantly, what's going on in your body. And you can notice when your mind starts to wander and you can begin again. So people say, I can't meditate because my mind is way too busy. But that's what minds do. They secrete thoughts. The whole idea behind meditation is practicing again and again to become aware of your thinking and then moving your flashlight from the thought back to whatever you choose as your anchor. Often we'll talk about that as your breath, but for some people the breath doesn't work. You might use your hands or your feet on the floor or something else. So let's just take a moment or two to just do a real small meditation to just ground us and let us feel what it's like to be in the present moment. So I will invite the bell once at the beginning and once at the end, and I'll be providing a little instruction as we go. So before we start, what you'll want to do is sit upright. It's best to have both feet on the ground, but sit in a way that's comfortable for you. You want to be upright, but you don't want to be uptight. You want to be relaxed. You want to have your shoulders over your hips. You'll notice me leaning forward into the future a lot, trying to work on that. And you want to have your head right over your shoulders. One of the ways that meditation becomes very uncomfortable is when your head's leaning into the future, too. You get a nice neck ache. So the purpose behind your posture is to make you as comfortable as you can by letting your body do the work of holding you up, because you're in alignment. And you can choose to close your eyes or to simply just lower your gaze. We'll begin with three long, slow, deep breaths. So breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. Breathing out. Breathing in. Breathing out. And letting your breath return to its natural rhythm. And just noticing the sensation of your breath going in and out. And noticing your body. Just scanning through your body to see if it feels open and spacious, or whether there's tension or tightness somewhere. Right now, just look and see what's there. Don't try and change anything. Noticing what you're feeling in your body. And now, with each out-breath, see if you can release just a little of the tension that you feel. Just relaxing a little bit with each out-breath. And you may notice that your mind begins to wander. That's perfectly fine. As soon as you've noticed it, you experienced a moment of mindfulness. That's what this practice is all about. So just be aware of your thinking mind and bring your attention back to just being here.
So each time your mind wanders, simply bring it back to the body sitting here. Nothing to do, nowhere to go. Just sitting here, feeling the body breathing, noticing the sensations in the body. And at the sound of the bell, we'll end this meditation. Thank you for practicing. Take a moment to notice how you felt during the meditation. Were you calm or tense? Was your mind wandering like crazy, or was it calming down? Typically, we find our mind does start to calm a little during meditation.
So your thoughts are not quite so cluttering up your mind. And typically when we're meditating and we're watching what's happening, our thoughts tend to quiet a little bit, especially when we keep bringing our mind back to our breath or whatever our anchor is. And that's really important because when we're trying to think and there's a lot of commotion going on, it's hard to think. And so what mindfulness allows us to do when we're in a stressful situation is to slow down that mental chatter so that we can see more clearly what's really going on. And when we see more clearly what's going on, instead of automatically reacting, we can stop and we can respond instead of reacting. We see, if we can step back and take a look at what's happening with our floodlight instead of our flashlight, we have a lot more options that we can take. So if you're walking through the woods with a flashlight and you're just shining it on, it's night and you're just shining the flashlight on the grass, you only have so many options of where to go. But if you can put a floodlight and see there's a path to your right and a path to your left as well that you didn't see with your flashlight, gives you more options. That's really what we're doing with mindfulness, is we're stepping back and saying, okay, here it is with my flashlight. What does it look like with my floodlight? Taking a step back and seeing the bigger picture so we can make better choices. Because if we don't do that, the chances of us making an unskillful comment or an unskillful action are greatly increased. And it's something that we'll end up regretting. So when we practice mindfulness, we learn to see what our reactive tendencies are. So, for example, when I get upset with someone, I have a reactive tendency to close down. And if I can see that and know what that feeling's like in my body, I can say, oh, do I really want to close down because I don't like conflict? Or is this relationship important to me and I want to have the courage to do whatever's necessary to fix this relationship rather than backing away from it? And so part of mindfulness is learning how to feel the sensation in your body that's related to what's going on in your feelings and your thoughts. Because that gives your executive brain a 20 to 30 second head start on your primitive brain, your emotional brain, so that you can make a better choice. So mindfulness is kind of the opposite of habits. And it's not that mindfulness is good and habits are bad, because some habits are very good, like the habit of brushing your teeth or the habit of washing your hands. And if we had to stop and think and make a decision of, do I want to do that again today, we'd be using a lot of mental energy. So habits can be really good. They make us operate, our brain operate more efficiently and effectively. However, some habits are not so good for us. They're habits we might have started, like my habit of closing down is a habit that I started young, I'll tell you, probably seventh grade, to keep myself safe, and realized that it's not really keeping me safe. It's really keeping me from being who I want to be. And so you have to look at the habits and say, is this what I want? And by slowing down our mental chatter and paying attention to what's going on, we start to see the reactive tendencies that we have. And when we see them, we can change them. So mindfulness does do a great job of helping us to see the joy in our life. And if you noticed as we went around the room, most everybody said gratitude was the easiest thing to practice, because it is. Once you get, it's hard to get started, but once you get started, gratitude is pretty easy to keep going because you train yourself to see the good. But mindfulness is also about the flip side, to be aware of our moments of sadness, to be aware when we're upset. Most of the time underneath anger is sadness or feeling of rejection or some kind of hurt. And if we don't see that, we just lash out with our anger. So we can choose where we're going to put our attention. We can choose to take that pause. Judy, can you mute? Okay. So we can choose where we want to put our attention. We can choose what we want to do. To help us choose, we have to be able to feel it in our body. So we're going to be doing a body scan, which was the most hated meditation practice I had when I took mindfulness-based stress reduction. I absolutely hated it, but I paid a lot of money for that class, so I was going to do what they said you were going to do. And I did body scans 45 minutes a day for probably a couple of weeks. I had you doing them at least. And one way to train our brain is to become more aware of our body. So many of us, like Mr. Duffy and James Joyce's novel Dubliners, live a short distance from our bodies. Anybody here live a short distance from your body? You're always off somewhere else. The body scan helps bring us in touch with our bodies in the present moment. And when we put the energy into actually experiencing our body and refuse to get caught up in the overlay of the judgmental thinking or the stories, our whole view of our body and ourselves can change dramatically. So the body scan is an effective method of developing concentration. We do that with the breath practice by coming back to the breath and focusing on the breath. With the body scan, we'll focus on different body parts. But it's also a good way to get flexibility, to change where our flashlight is shining. One of the things that sometimes we have, and I can't remember who said it, have trouble kind of letting go of something and letting it be. The body scan is training our brain to do that because we focus on the foot and then we let the foot go and we focus on the ankle. And then we let the ankle go and we focus on the leg. So we're practicing focusing and shifting the focus of our attention. So we're going to be learning to pay attention or concentrate, shift the focus of our attention. And when we shift the focus of our attention, that's our way of letting go without pushing it away. We're not pushing our foot away saying, I'm not going to think about you anymore. We're simply shifting the focus of our attention from our foot to our ankle. And so we practice letting go. We practice accepting because we may be focused on some body part that's giving you some discomfort. And you're just accepting the discomfort's there. And I'm focused on this body part. And it won't be forever, but for this moment, I can just be here with this discomfort. So tolerating and accepting. And we also focus on, oh, my hands feel really good. I don't want to move to any other body part, but we do anyway. So we focus on, so we need to let go both of uncomfortable things and pleasant things because pleasant things don't last forever. So we might want to linger, but we're going to move on as we go. Okay, so we'll begin the body scan with one invitation of the bell. So getting into our meditative posture, whatever is the right posture for you. We practice the body scan. Bring your attention to the sensations or even the absence of sensations of the different areas of the body that we look at. Try and pay attention to what's actually there, what's the feeling, not what your head tells you you think you should be feeling, but really the actual sensations. Sometimes the body scan's very relaxing, but that's not the object of the body scan. The object of the body scan is to just be present with the body without asking anything to be different. We're simply just checking in as non-judgmental way as we can. And so we'll begin the body scan by focusing our attention on our feet. Noticing the feeling of your feet on the floor. Socks touching your skin. Notice whether your feet are hot or cold. And shifting the focus of your attention from your feet to your calves. Maybe you feel your clothing touching your calves. Maybe you can feel the blood coursing through your veins. Maybe you feel a tightness or a muscle ache. And maybe you feel nothing at all. And moving the focus of your attention to your knees. Mostly we pay attention to the front of our knees and our kneecap. We'll start there. Their pain. Comfort. Or maybe you feel nothing. How about the back of your knee? Have you ever felt that? And changing the focus of our attention from our knee to our thighs. Feeling your thighs on the chair. Feeling your hands on your thighs. Maybe feeling the blood coursing through. Whatever you feel is fine. Just notice what's there. And shifting attention from your thighs to your lower back. Maybe feeling your lower back pressed against the chair. Maybe noticing lower back holding up your body. From your lower back to your upper back. Maybe feeling the clothing on your skin. Maybe feeling some tension or tightness. And moving from your back to your arms. And all the way down to your fingertips. Noticing what you feel. Cool or warmth, tingling or numb, and if your mind starts to wander, no problem, just bring it back. and shifting the focus of your attention to your shoulders. Noticing, where are your shoulders right now? Are they hunched up by your ears? Are they rounded forward? Are your shoulder blades simply slid slightly down your back? Noticing where you're at. The body scan has a tendency to relax us. So if you're feeling sleepy, for the next few in-breaths, just give a little more attention to the in-breath than the out-breath. Maybe making the in-breath twice as long as the out-breath to bring a little energy into your body. A lot of times body scans are done laying down, so this is an important technique to use when you do the body scan to make sure you're not falling asleep. And putting your attention back on your shoulders, noticing what you feel, moving your attention to your jaws. If your jaw is tight or loose, how does that tightness or looseness impact your mouth? Tongue, your teeth, your lips. Notice what happens if you put a half a smile on your lips. That change the sensations in your face. And moving to your forehead. Notice if your brow is furrowed or relaxed. And turning off our flashlight and turning on our floodlight. Notice your whole body sitting here. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, just sitting here being.
Some people find the body scan makes it easier to concentrate because your mind has something to work with. It can continue to come back to the body part each time it wanders. You have something that you're looking towards, moving your flashlight from one body part to another. Some people find the body scan very relaxing, and oftentimes it is. Although, if you have some issues in your life or some pain, the body scan can be unpleasant. Practicing the body scan helps you to improve your concentration and your flexibility. It teaches you to let go of thoughts by gently shifting your attention and letting that thought fade into the background. And it teaches you to stay with whatever is, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. So the body scan is just one of a multitude of mindfulness tools you can use to improve your mindfulness. But mindfulness, like exercise, only works if you work at it. Just learning about mindfulness will not make you more mindful any more than learning about exercise will make you more fit. So I invite you to choose the meditations you'll find on my website under Mindfulness Tools Guided Meditations and aim to practice 10 minutes 5 days per week for about 4 weeks. That's the minimum that research says is needed to see a difference in your brain. Thank you for joining me on this mindfulness journey.